and we feature Gary Brooker in the next half hour on BBC Radio 2. Online on digital radio and 88 to 91 FM.
BBC News at 6 o'clock. This is Harvey Cook. Theresa May has said it's highly
the night, and that's the BBC News at 3 minutes past six, annexed at seven.
Thank you, Harvey. Here is a fantastic piece of pop trivia, which I'm sharing with you now because I learnt it over the weekend. In the movie Evita, who played... This isn't a... Don't ring in, don't send in a text or anything. It's not a participatory question. I'm going to tell you the answer immediately. And there are no prizes, blimey. In the movie Evita, who played the foreign minister of Argentina? The answer is Gary Brooker from Procol Harum. Hello, Gary, by the way.
His name was Juan Pumalia.
Yeah, but he was played by you.
He was indeed.
I never knew that. I love that film. I love Evita anyway. I love that film. And I didn't know that.
So. No, if you blinked, you missed me.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. It was tremendous. My first and last acting role, actually.
Oh, really? So how did you get involved? I should say, this song is not on the Procol Harum compilation and compendium, which we're talking about. Was it Alan Parker just saying, I'm a fan? Or
yes.
Are you in?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. I don't know if Lloyd Webber said that, but he had to get somebody to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or whatever it was called.
Anyway, so Gary is here because there is a fantastic Procol Harum anthology. It's called Still There'll Be More, an anthology, 67 to 2017. This is, I mean, there's a double CD, but the main thing is 69 tracks on 5 CDs, 3 DVDs, a 68-page hardback book. I mean, this is days worth of entertainment here.
This is, you can't put a price on that, can you?
It's probably got stuff in here that you didn't know. Songs you can't remember.
It has. There's photos. I wonder who's that. Oh, that's me.
And I have to say, 1967, you all looked... The outfits that you had in 67, 68, peak flower power and everything, you looked amazing.
Yeah, I think we were always trying to be something different. So we never wore a lot of beads. We were past that, beyond that kind of thing, yeah.
And I love the fact that, although we played White Shade of Pale an hour ago, and I mentioned that it was the debut single. I mean, and that's where the compilation starts, obviously, with your debut single. But before that, when you were in the Paramounts, so we were kind of mid-60s, were you opening for the Beatles?
Yes.
I mean, that's extraordinary as well. That must have been quite a moment. You must have thought, it's not going to get any better than this.
Well, we had opened also for the... Or did open, I think it was after or before, for the Rolling Stones as well. And that was... You had... In those days, you were either actually a Beatles person or you were a Stones person.
And what were you?
I'm afraid I was a Stones person at that particular moment.
But as a jobbing band, if you get to open for both, you'll take those gigs.
Absolutely true, you know, but the Stones were from down south and they supported us greatly in our, you know, when we first went professional. You know, the Beatles only started supporting us in their later career in 65.
Anyway, then it sort of ground to a halt with the Paramounts. And so Procol Harum emerged from... I mean, we're going back to the very basics. It emerged from what and from where?
Oh, well, actually, it ground to a halt with the Paramounts when we ended up backing Sandy Shore, really. I think we thought, well, that's really it, you know. Hmm. And I thought I'd become a songwriter. I would become a songwriter in about 1966. And went about doing that industriously and composing and making up things. And I met Keith Reid, the lyricist, and we started inventing things. I think they were quite different, in fact, so different that nobody else would sing them. So I had to sing them myself, and in order to do that, we started up the band.
See, when your band starts and when your debut hit is one of the decade-defining songs, I wonder if there's part of you that thinks, I wish we could have sort of built up to that and had a few hits before that, rather than starting with that extraordinary song when everyone... I mean, Homburg, I love, which was the follow-up, and a lot of people love that as well. But it must have been... You must have thought, how are we going to
top
that?
Well, you know, that's the way the chips fall. I mean, I have no regrets. I wouldn't change anything. whitish shade of pale tumbled from the sky, and it hit not just Britain or but the entire world by surprise. I mean, we did want to do something different. We didn't want to. There'd been not a decade, but there'd been many years of pop groups, you know, four in a line, smiling away and doing a 2-minute single.
Yeah,
we weren't interested in that. We wanted to be more artistic, if you like, than that. You know, make a bigger contribution to something. And that's what A White Shade of Pale was, and everything else we've ever done. So it wasn't a surprise, but it was very pleasant that our alternative view of things, actually, the whole world seemed to like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't have changed it. I suppose, if you could have built up to that, but that's too commercial. This was not a commercial thought, White Shade of Pale. It wasn't hyped. Everybody fell in love with it.
Yeah. I've always been a huge fan of Douglas Adams, and I fortunately got to interview him a couple of times. And the second time, all he wanted to talk about was Procol Harum. Right? He had a book out, and I said, "Can we talk about the book?" He said, "No, I want to talk about Procol Harum." He was absolutely obsessed with you. And I remember one of the things that he said about hearing you for the first time was that when you came on the radio, it sounded as you. He assumed that you must have come out of Detroit. That it had that kind of sound, certainly American, but actually you were from Southend, and or thereabouts, and he was just genuinely blown away by that.
You mean when he heard perhaps A White Shade of Pale?
Yeah, well, he was just to think that you were as English as he was.
No harm in being as English as Douglas Adams. I wasn't as tall as him.
Yeah,
but that's. Perhaps, I mean, White Shade of Pale, people didn't know where it came from. I don't expect it sounded... I thought it always sounded quite English.
I want to ask you about playing with orchestras and stuff, because I want to play Conquistador, and the version on the compilation is the fantastic, huge noise that you made with... Is it the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra?
Yes.
There was something about your music which lent itself to orchestra. Some bands kind of pretend, you know, they perform with an orchestra and go, well, you know, it's not a perfect fit. But there was something about your music that just worked with an orchestra. Tell us about how this came about and how you came to be performing with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra.
Well, I think I'd always had an interest. I always liked classical music, and it always slipped in and out of the stuff that we had done on our first two or three albums. Even if it was a matter of trying to make a sort of a rock suite, you know, with intermingled themes and that. It was, you know, just veering towards perhaps what classical people did sometimes. And in the end, I thought, oh, we could orchestrate some of these. If we ever get the chance, you know. And one day we did in Canada, at the Shakespeare Festival there in Ontario, and we managed to perform a couple of Procol Harum pieces there. I wrote out the scores. We did In Hell Twas In Eye, which was from our second album, which was in fact a 20-minute long piece, and we did A Salty Dog. And that was seen by some people from Edmonton. And they then invited us up to do a full-blown concert with the Edmonton Symphony. This was very unusual for the time. A rock band, if you like, playing with a symphony orchestra. And even the symphony orchestra, when we got there, they were wearing crash helmets and earplugs and things.
Surly bunch, were they?
Surly lot. But they actually... They came to love us in the end, and they... And tell you what, classical orchestras are the same the world over. You know, they can play Handel every night. But if they play a Procol Harum song with a Procol Harum audience there, everybody goes wild, and they've never seen an audience react like that, you know, spontaneously and jumping up.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Well, let's play. And if you can, and if it's sociable, turn this up, because this is a magnificent noise from the Procol Harum anthology. This is Conquistador. We had that up super loud here. I'll be complaining downstairs of Six Music. Classic Procol Harum, Conquistador. I'm all with Gary Brooker in a second.
This week, Radio 2 is returning to Southwest. Thursday night from 8 on BBC Radio 2.
6:27. Tickets have gone on sale today for a special Procol Harum show at the London Palladium on the 9th of October. This is the band's only 2018 UK date, where Procol Harum will be performing their classic 1971 album Edmonton in full, accompanied by a full symphony orchestra and a full choir. Just the one gig, Gary. Just the one.
Yeah.
Come on. You want to do some more? You want to do some more? I guess it's expensive.
We are playing a lot more, but not round Britain. I don't think we have to hire the orchestra when we play with an orchestra in Britain.
Will you be playing Conquistador?
Absolutely. I mean, we are going to play all of that Edmonton album. As you know, certainly in the first half will be made up from that. So we will stick to that religiously. And, of course, Conquistador is part of that, as are many others.
Are you going to be okay to play? I noticed you have your arm in a sling. Are you going to be? Can you still play? Perfectly okay. Fingers still working?
No. Well, they are working. That's a bonus. Yeah. No, I've replaced my shoulder, as you do. You know.
Yeah.
And but I just had this little 3-month period where there wasn't too much on, so that's why I've had it done now. And I'll be back in action.
Martin in Essex says, Simon, fabulous to hear Gary on the programme. Saw him in Southend a few months back performing the Paramount's tribute for Steve Smith. And it was a great night with Andy Fairweather, though, also in the bill. A Salty Dog is my all-time favourite album, with the title track long overdue for a play on your show. Martin, thank you very much indeed for the text. What's clear from this, Gary, is that the anthology goes from 67 to 2017. So you're still working and you're still writing and you're still out there and... You're never going to stop, are you? I mean, what's the point?
Well, the point would be to actually get on and do something else, go fishing or something. But it doesn't. Life doesn't happen like that, you know. It seems that rock and roll music, that you don't ever get the chance. I mean, you have to still have the abilities. You still have to have the physically, and you still have to be able to sing and play, obviously. If something went wrong there, then that would be a complete disaster, and I'd just mope away somewhere. But until that day, I mean, I'll go out probably doing something. It'd probably kill me to be trying to do a cover of a Little Richard number one day.
Really? Yeah, getting your leg up on the piano or something like that. That would be, hey, you should try that. That would be different, wouldn't it? Gary Brooker, it's been a pleasure to have you in. Thank you very much indeed. Procol Harum, Still There'll Be More, is an anthology, 1967-2017. There's a double CD as well, if you don't want the 8-CD version. Gary, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Simon. I'll see you at the Palladium.
Thank you very much indeed.
9th of October.